Take God's word with me, please, and turn to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. What a great text of scripture we have here before us, Psalm 130 in the Word of God. Psalm 130, verse number 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of thy supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for thee. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let's read there verse number 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be fear. Boy, I like that in verse number 4. But there is forgiveness with thee. But there is forgiveness with thee. Before in verse number 3, it said, oh Lord, if you shouldest mark iniquities. If you should mark iniquities. Everybody here in church this morning, say amen. Don't get distracted. Look right here. If the Lord would mark iniquities, if he'd mark your iniquities, if he'd mark my iniquities, would you be able to stand? Oh, no, friend, you wouldn't be able to stand. But, verse 4, you there. But, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee. I'd like to preach a little while. There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray to help us this morning with anything that might be distracting us, pulling our minds away from this wonderful truth of forgiveness. Anything that's pulling our minds away from the Word of God, I pray you would get rid of it. You would help us to look to the Word of God. I pray you bind the devil and Jesus might get the glory due unto himself in this place. If there be one here that doesn't know you as Savior and the free pardon of sin, I pray they'd be saved today. I pray, Lord Jesus, as there be one under the sound of our voice through radio, internet, whatever it might be, I pray they'd be saved today if they don't know you. I pray you encourage your people that there is forgiveness with you this morning. Oh, Lord, breathe upon us. Help us. Minister to us. Speak to us. May we have church this morning as you would want us to have church. And may we worship and praise you for your forgiveness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse number 4, there is forgiveness. It doesn't say there was forgiveness, but it says there is forgiveness. Is forgiveness. That means it's present. It's here this morning. God is ready to forgive. There is forgiveness. I jotted some things down that I thought might be interesting to you. That phrase there in verse number 3, there is. Verse number 4, there is. I got thinking about there is in the Bible. There is a man of God, 1 Samuel 9:6. Aren't you glad there still is men of God? Amen. There is a man of God. 1 Samuel 14:6. There is no restraint with the Lord. He can do anything for him. There is a God in Israel, 1 Samuel 17:46. There is peace, 1 Samuel 20:21. Ecclesiastes 9:4 and Ezra 10:2. There is hope. You might be here and you think there's no hope for my situation. You done forgot about God. As long as there is God and you are alive or someone else is alive, there is hope. Nehemiah 4:10, think about this one. He said, there is rubbish. There's junk in the way. The Bible says in Psalm 14:11, Psalm 53:3, and Romans 3:11, there's none good, no, not one. None of us are good. I'm glad there's one that's good, and His name's Jesus, and He paid the price for each of us. There's a reward to those that work for the Lord. Psalm 19:11, Psalm 58:11, there is a reward. Say, is there any reward for what I do? Oh, there's going to be great reward in heaven for you, and I believe some down on this earth as well. There's a cup of God's wrath too. You know, God's got a cup and it's a cup of wrath. Psalm 75:8. There's a cup. There's safety with the Lord in counselors. There is. That's what we're talking about. There is safety in counselors. Proverbs 11:24. There is a season for every time. You might be in a season. And seasons, last time I checked, they go around and around. And let me tell you something, friend. Ecclesiastes 3:11. You might be in a season, but winter don't last forever. It'll change. There is profit. Proverbs 14:23 to those that work. There is carnality. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. There is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 1 Corinthians 3:17. There is one body. I'm glad I'm part of that one body, Ephesians 4:4. There is one God and one mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. Oh my, there's one great gulf fixed between God and man. Luke 18:29. And I don't know why I saw this one, but I did. John 6, there is a lad. Jesus said, there is a lad, there is a lad. The lad gave his lunch. I'm glad there's still some lads that'll give their whole lunch to Jesus. You know, when you give your whole lunch to Jesus, last time I checked, He gives it back in heapfuls. When you give your whole lunch to Jesus, when you give your whole lunch to Jesus, and you say, I'm yours, Lord, the whole lunch, the whole kit and caboodle, He'll feed a world with the bread of life. Have you given Him your lunch? You keep your lunch, you can't see the world get the gospel. But if you'll give Him your lunch, that means your whole life. There's a lot of life wrapped up in a wallet. Come on now. Don't you know that? There's a lot of life wrapped up in money and a wallet and possessions and what you can do with what's inside here. But if you give your lunch to Jesus, He can feed the whole world the gospel. There is a lad, Jesus said. There is a lad. The lad represents the individual that's insignificant, but has just, all that he has is just a lunch, but he gives it all to Jesus. There is a lad. But you know what? In Psalm 130 and verse 11, what is there? In verse 4. Psalm 130 and verse 4, what is there? There is what? Boy, oh boy, aren't you glad there's forgiveness? It does not say there was forgiveness. It says there is forgiveness. Let's look at this text of Scripture. Number one, I want you to look at the plight of the psalmist. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Out of the depths. I was all the way down at the bottom. Out of the depths I had cried. David lived in some dark, dark places. And he didn't live in dark, dark places. Sometimes he didn't live in dark, dark places because of what somebody else did to him. Now, there were some situations when Saul was running after him and he was in the depths. He was in that cave. I believe he was in that cave in Psalm 62. But he's not in the depths now because Saul was chasing him. He's in the depths now, or has been in the depths now, because of his sin. You remember he committed adultery. Then he killed a man in innocent blood, and the sword didn't leave his life. And he was in the depths because of his sin. Sin always takes you down. And down, and down, and down. And you won't stop going down. You can try to reform your life. You can try to recover your life. You can try to start going to church. You can start trying to make better decisions. But sin will take you down, take you down, take you down until you confess your sin and repent of your sin. And Jesus washes you in His blood. You're just going to keep going down. You can go to some house somewhere and they can try to help you with things. You can go to some church somewhere and they can try to help you, but until you come to Jesus, you're just going to go down, 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 down to the depths. Where was that coin at the other night? Where was that coin? That coin was down in the muck and mire, down at the bottom, until the fish, Jesus Christ, came down, down to where you and I were and lifted us up by His glory. Oh, my friend, you might be down. And one reason you're down is because you're sin. You've never came face to face with Jesus about your sin. Disobedience pulls you down. You could be saved here. And you're down because you're disobedient. You're down because you're in sin. You're down because you're looking at things you ought not be looking at. You're down because you're watching things you shouldn't be watching. You're listening to things you shouldn't be listening to. You're having wicked imaginations in your mind. You're down because God has told you to do something, but you won't do it. The sin of omission. You know you ought to be doing something. You know you ought to be obedient, but you're scared and your spirit is down. I'm telling you, disobedience will take you down. It'll make you gloomy. It'll put you in despair. It'll put you on the bottom. The psalmist said, I'm out of the depth. I was in the depths. Who's ever been at the bottom before? Say amen. Oh, I don't want to say that. I don't talk about being on the top. Who's ever been on the mountain? Everybody says, oh yeah, I've been there. God's good. Have you ever been down at the bottom before? You ever been down there with the sea creatures like Jonah? Jonah wouldn't do what God said, and he was down at the bottom of the belly, wasn't he? The bottom of the ocean. Saul was down in his life. Why? Saul had every possibility to be a great king. Had everything going his way, but what took him down? Sin. Achan. Sin took him and his family down. It destroyed him. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's worse than down. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. And David said, I cried from the bottom. Maybe sin has taken you down and you think nothing will bring me up. It's done taken me down. It's done beat me down. It's been taking me down. It's done put a blow to me and I'm down. I'm not just down on my knees. I'm done laid out from my feet down to my head. I'm just laid out at the bottom of muck and mire. I'm down. You could be down in your spirit. You could be down in your body. Could be down in your heart. Well, it could be because of sin. Maybe sin's taking you down. That's what the devil. Let me tell you something about the nasty old devil. Let me give him a blow real quick. Jesus wants to raise you up, but the devil, once he gets down, he'll take his own heel and he'll just put it right there on your neck and say, you ain't getting up. I'm gonna keep you down. The devil don't want to bring you up. He is the thief, I'm telling you. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The plight of the psalmist says, I've out of the depths I cried. Not only the plight of the psalmist, but the prayer of the psalmist. The prayer of the psalmist. He said, out of the depths have I what? Have I what? Have I cried? When you get in the depths with the devil, and when you get down low enough from sin, you'll be in the bottom. You won't say, Lord, help me. Will you help me pray? Preacher? No, when you know you're lost and you know where you're at and you need the help of God, you'll cry. You won't need anybody to help you cry. I don't know any baby. I had to help the baby cry. They know how to cry on their own. Amen? And if you know you're lost and you know you're in sin and you know you're away from God, you'll find a place somewhere to cry. That's the plea of the psalmist. You can do it yourself. You won't have to have an instructional book how to pray. You won't have to have the priest help you pray or the preacher help you pray or the pope help you pray. Can I get a witness? You'll talk to God on your own. The prayer of the psalmist. It's a prayer of distress. Prayer of distress. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Hear my voice, Lord. Let thine ears be attentive. Distress. Yeah, when you get down to the bottom, and you know what you've done wrong before the Lord, you'll cry in distress. I see people come to the altar. They crack me up. They sit at the altar. They come to the altar to bow before God. But I do it like this. When you get in distress and you need to get before God, this is what you'll do.
Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for where I failed you, Lord. This is it and this is it.
Not like this. You won't even want to look up because you're in the presence of a holy God and you're down. So you're going to get down as low as you are. And Adrian Rogers said, he said, if I could have that night on that football field, I would have taken my thumb and I would have pulled back the dirt on the football field where I surrendered to God. And he said, I would have put my nose down in the dirt if I could have, as far as I could. What's happened to that conviction? You know why there's no conviction? Because there's no consciousness of our sinfulness. Just any old thing will work. We'll just pop our bubble gum going to the pew. No, when you see that you're down in the depths in your sin, there'll be true confession and distress. The psalmist here, David, said, "Oh Lord, I've cried unto thee. Hear my voice." He says, "Oh Lord." When's the last time you said, "Oh Lord"? You see it in verse 1? I'm not making it up. It's in your King James Bible. The authorized word of God. He said, "Oh Lord." Not Lord, but what kind of? Oh Lord. When you're down there in the bottom, you'll cry, "Oh Lord." That's distress. The distinction, he said, "Hear my voice." We're busy about getting everybody else right with God, but we got problems. Well, I need to pray for that person. I need to pray for that, but then you get right with God. And many times when it gets serious, it's my voice God needs to hear. I'm not waiting on you praying for somebody else when you're wrong. I'm not waiting on you pray for your family to get right with God when you're not even faithful to church. I'm not going to hear your prayer praying for your loved one to get saved if you've got unsurrendered parts of your life and your heart. Hey, come on now, right? He's waiting for my voice to confess that what I've done wrong. See, I thought this was a message on forgiveness. Yeah, if you're going to get forgiveness, you've got to get right with God. You've got to get clear with God. You've got to get honest with God. It's of design. My voice. He said, be attentive. He said, Lord, I want you to pull your ear from heaven and listen to what I'm saying. I've got to have your attention. You ever been in such despair that you needed God's ear to hear your prayer like yours was the only one? He said, be attentive. When conviction and despair hits your life, you will. A prayer of the psalmist, one of distress, distinction, and design. Not only the plight of the psalmist, the prayer of the psalmist, but the pardon of the psalmist. He said, Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of thy supplications. This is where we're going to get into the pardon of the psalmist. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. First of all, I notice confession. He said, if thou shouldest mark iniquities. His confession is that he called it iniquities. He said, I'd been there before. In the depths have I cried because of my iniquities. I had to say, Lord, be attentive unto my voice, because I was in iniquity. The confession of iniquity. It's vital that we confess. If we confess our sins, then. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We shouldn't soft pedal this and go around this. Confession is required for the pardon. Just to be honest with God, what you know to already be true and what he already knows to be true. To say the same thing is confession. Confession of iniquity. The meaning, which is corruption of iniquity. Not confession. Not only confession, but corruption of iniquity. Corruption of iniquity. That's what the word means. Iniquity means corrupt to the core. It means polluted. It means a deep stain, a poison in your system. Defilement, depravity. Lord, hear me. Because if you would mark my iniquities, I cannot stand, is what he's saying. I can't stand. Do you see yourself corrupt that way? Well, you see yourself corrupt, you'll confess. The confession of iniquity, the corruption of iniquity. Oh my, don't listen real good. If thou shouldest mark iniquities. Oh, I wonder if the Lord would mark our iniquities. Would you like for the Lord to mark your iniquities and have no eraser? No eraser to your past, everything you've done all through your life, and not mark a one of them, Brother Curtis. No eraser. Every last one, how in the sight of a holy God, how long would your list be? How long would my list be? Every evil thought, every lustful thought, every lie, every thought of jealousy, every evil imagination, every angry thought, every deed done wrong to your fellow man, mark them. The counting of iniquity. Oh, the counting would be high in all of our lives. Can I get a witness? It would be strong. The list would be long and longer than we could ever imagine. We might think, oh, it'd be this long, but I'm telling you what, in the sight of a holy God, it'd be 100 times longer than what we think. We measure up saying, I'm a pretty good boy. In the sight of a holy God, we're nothing but a wretch. And the list would be long, friend. I'm coming to forgiveness, but I'm telling you what, we'll never appreciate the goodness of forgiveness until we realize how wicked we are. People can't rejoice in the goodness of God and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ because they haven't realized my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin. Well, how can you sing so well and so gladly it is well with my soul until you recognize how great your sin is? You understand that? If God would mark our sins and not do anything with them and just leave them there and not erase them and not eradicate them, where would we be? We'd be in hell for all eternity if he just marked them. Boy, I tell you what, I got a lot of marks on mine. I'm a sinner. I'm a great sinner, but I've got a greater Savior. I said I'm a great sinner, but I've got a greater Savior. Would you like to join me and say, I'm a great sinner, but I've got a greater Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is greater in forgiveness. If he'd mark them, oh, we'd be in hell. The counting. Can you imagine the running record over and over and not stopping either? I don't know about anybody else, but since I got saved, I've still sinned. Oh, don't get your halo put up there. And if you've got that halo on you, I'm going to tell you it's crooked right now and it's got devil horns coming through it. You've sinned since you've been saved. And more than you think, too. We're wicked, I'm telling you. We sin in our sleep and don't even know it by the thoughts that we dream. We're wicked. The list would never stop, would it? God would mark them. The confession of iniquity, the corruption of iniquity, the counting of iniquity, no erasers, the condemnation of iniquity. Who? Verse number three, who shall stand? If he would mark him, who shall stand? Let me just draw back here and say something. Who shall stand? Only Jesus. Because you can't mark an iniquity on Jesus. They couldn't get him. There was not even guile found in his mouth. He never thought a bad thought. He did only good. Always, continually. Who could stand then? Only Jesus. Well, who will be able to stand? Only those that are in Jesus. Only those that are in Christ will be able to stand because they won't be counted against us. Our sins will not be marked. Who shall stand? For God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah! What a Savior! He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let the church say amen. And if you don't know how to say amen, like Brother Kenny said, start by writing it on your offering envelope, amen. I'm telling you what, Jesus died in my place so there would be no iniquity marked against us in that day. Hallelujah. What a Savior. All glory to God. The pardon is we'll be able to stand. Sin slays, disobedience destroys, but God gives life. God makes us holy through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Whoa, those are good words. Forgiveness, the fact of it. I'm talking about pardon. Forgiveness, the fact is, there is forgiveness. You got sin? God's got the blood. You've got sin? God's got grace. You've got sin? God's got mercy. You've got sin? God's got peace. Oh, yeah. There is forgiveness. Oh, line it up on the wall. There is forgiveness in thee. The fact is, the founder, not the fact only of forgiveness, but the founder of forgiveness. Forgiveness is with thee. Who's the founder of forgiveness? God, who before the foundations of the world loved you with an everlasting love enough to say, I'm going to send my darling, only begotten Son into this world, and I'm going to send him to dark Calvary to die in your place and shed his blood so you could be forgiven. Who's the founder of forgiveness? God the Father and his great love for you. Now I want to take you to one spot in the Bible. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Daniel. This is only in one spot in the Bible. Daniel. One of those minor prophets with a major message. Daniel chapter number 9. Oh boy. Only one spot is this one word used in your King James Bible. And this is the Word of God. This is forever settled in heaven. Daniel 9:9, to the Lord our God belong, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Though we have rebelled against him, what belongs to God? Mercies. And forgivenesses. Not just mercy, but forgivenesses. If I look you straight in the face, that just means I love you more than any people. You don't have to get nervous. That's just how I preach, okay? Mercies and forgivenesses. Did you know there's only one spot in your King James Bible where the word forgivenesses is mentioned? I don't know you about Brother William, but I've not only need forgiveness, but I've need forgivenesses. Plural, because I've failed them so many times. I've let them down so many times. Brother Curtis, I've sinned. I've not just messed up. I've sinned so many times, but there's forgivenesses with the Lord. That means, hey, it's multiple. It's abundant. It's over and over forgivenesses. How many times have you struggled with something and you've hurt with something and you seem like you're going back and you're not doing the right thing and you can't have victory over it and you've went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I'm sorry, I did it again. And he gave you forgiveness. Why? Because unto our God and unto our Lord belongeth mercies and forgivenesses. Can I get a witness that God is great? Amen. That he's merciful and he's gracious to us, because I don't know about anybody else in here, but I got to go back quite often. I don't know nobody else in here, but there's some things I struggle with more than other things. I know nobody else got a problem with that. I know you all so holy that you got your halo on and you got your white suit on. You don't have no problems with anything. I don't know if anybody else here have problems with thoughts and anger and have problems with other things. I don't know about anybody else, but I've had to go back to the Lord. And I'm thankful it didn't just say forgiveness. It says forgiveness. Says, plural. And that's the only place you'll find that in the Word of God is forgivenesses. Because if you connect it back, you ready? Ready to connect it? Because he's marking them. And the list is long. See, he's marking them and the list is long. So over there in Daniel 9:9, it's not forgiveness. It's forgivenesses, because we needed forgivenesses, plural, because the marking is plural on my list. How about yours? Forgivenesses. The pardon. He's the founder. We all have problems, and we all strike out. Say, man, I'm coming up to the plate for the God again, and I'm going to try my best. And we strike out, and we go back to the Lord. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our righteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my friend. Turn with me to Daniel. When you're in the minor, go back to the major prophets. Did I say Isaiah? Isaiah 43 in verse number 25. Glory to God. Verse number 25. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. He says, I'm going to blot out thy transgressions for my sake. He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He says, I'm going to blot out your transgressions. Hey, the blood of Jesus Christ can blot it out. There is forgiveness with the Lord. It's still the blood that blots out sin. Oh, boy, you done failed. You done failed. You should say glory on that one. If the church can't say glory and hallelujah and amen that the blood blots out sin, we've done failed. You done failed. I said the blood blots out sin. Hallelujah. I said the blood washes all my sin away. It blots it out. What's it mean to blot it? It means to erase it. It means to obliterate it. It means to render the characters on the page gone. I've got some ink here on this piece of paper. You see the ink? Some of it's printed. Some of it's green. Some of it's blue. Some of it's pink. How about that? Boy, that really needs to get blotted out. Some of it's red. You see, there's different inks, and there's different stains in your life. There's different stains in your life, all because of sin. Praise God. The blood blotted all out. Just as white as the back of this paper is white, but you can see through the other side. If I had a clean paper, it'd be better. There you go. That, just as white as that is right there, Jesus' blood blots out our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood still hasn't lost its power, Brother Jeff. It still flows from Emmanuel's veins. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. How about it, friend? Say it with me. Lose all their guilty stains. And oh, the stain's deep. Why? Because it's iniquity. But all their guilty stains are gone in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood blots out. Render the characters invisible. I just read it from Strong's. But I'm telling you what, we've got some characters on our record. We've got some sins on our record. But if you've been to Calvary already, doesn't matter if you came to Calvary when you were 4, 40, or 80. If you've came to Calvary's flow, guess what? Past, present, and future, blotted out. Never to be remembered against you no more. See, I'm struggling with some things. I'm struggling with things I've done in the past. Claim it. Hey, I am the Lord that blotteth out thine iniquities for my name's sake. Take it to the blood. The old song they used to sing a lot, I claim the blood. That's what you got to do, because there's forgiveness with the Lord. Run back real quick to our text, Psalm 130. Hey, it's preaching time. They done locked me up all week and didn't let me preach, and I heard 25 different preachers. It's preaching time. I told myself, I'm not going to preach much today. I'm going to take it easy, but I'm telling you what, I got a fire shut up in my bones, and I feel like bragging on Jesus that there is forgiveness with him. Somebody needs this message this morning, but there's forgiveness with thee. Calvary covers it all, friend. Let's slow down a little bit. That's pretty exciting. I'm telling you, that's good news from a far country called heaven, that whatever you've done, it can be blotted out. Let me tell you something real quick here. If you read real close there, Brother Michael, you'll understand that David's speaking from the perspective that it's already taken place. He's saying there is forgiveness. He said, I've experienced, and I believe if I've got it right, this is written after he's done all that sinning with Bathsheba and so forth. He said, even though I did so wrong, even murdered a man. Ooh, I don't know. Do we have any murderers here today? Even if you murdered a man, had to go to jail, or didn't even get caught for it, don't even matter. Would the Lord be able to forgive that? Yeah. Because he took it to the cross with him. and bore in his own body on the tree. Murder, adultery, fornication, stealing, whatever you want to, whatever it is, deep as it is, there is forgiveness with the Lord. And David said, I'm speaking it from the vantage point of experience. Can you speak of it from a vantage point of experience? Say, I know, it's good. If he'd marked my iniquities, I wouldn't be able to stand. But, see verse 3? But there is forgiveness with thee. Oh, hallelujah. That's a testimony service right there. Now, I said we're going to slow down. You don't really believe me, do you? What's the purpose? We talked about the pardon of the psalmist, but what's the purpose? Guess what? I bet you folks so smart, even though you're from the bottom of Georgia, I bet you so smart you can read your Bible and figure out what it is. Look at it. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. You got it. Why did God forgive an old sinner like me that I might fear him? And by the way, to fear God is the whole duty of man. Fear God, the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. When you realize how great of a sinner you were, but how great of forgiveness you have received, I'm telling you what I'm going to say with my life. I don't know about anybody else in here. Anybody with me? I'm telling you what, I'm not the only one here worshiping. I sure hope not. Will you worship with me? We'll say together, boy, I tell you what, I'm just going to fear God the rest of my life. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to give my life to him because I was a great sinner, but I've got a greater Savior, and he blotted out all my iniquities, so I'm just going to fear him. Every day when I wake up, I'm going to live consciously in his presence, and I'm going to fear him, worship him. I'm going to try to do the very, 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 very best thing I can for him. I'm going to try to get away from anything that's evil. I'm going to try to serve the Lord all the days of my life in the house of the Lord, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to be all out for Jesus. All glory to God. Whatsoever therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Say, why you be that way, brother? Why you crazy about Jesus? Why you crazy about church? Why you crazy about preaching? Why you crazy about all this stuff? Man, you off your rocker. I'll tell you why I am. Hey, there is forgiveness with the Lord. That's why. He done paid the debt I could not pay. So I owe a debt back to him because of his great forgiveness for me. That's the reason of the pardon, the purpose of the pardon. But then not only fear, I can't. There's too much. But there's one more reason he pardoned you. There's one more purpose. That thou mayest be feared. And David says these words in verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waiteth. Wait a second. How many times is he going to use the word wait? And hope. Catch them now. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch kin to wait. For the morning, I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope, that's kin to wait. Waiting expectantly is the definition of hope. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Why? For with the Lord there is mercy. Hey, there is mercy. Understood here. And with him there is, understood, plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Hallelujah. You know what you're going to do? When you know you've been forgiven, not only are you going to fear him, but you're going to wait for him. And you're going to hope in God. Say, why do I hope in God? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you hope in God? Seeing how much he forgave you of all your sins and blotted out all your iniquities, why wouldn't you hope in God if you've experienced that kind of forgiveness? You know what I'm finding out, Miss Lynn? People are shaky. People are unsteady. People are nervous. They're anxious. They don't have any security whatsoever. You know why they don't have any security? Because they've never experienced the forgiveness at the foot of the cross. They don't have any assurance of their salvation. They don't have any steadiness. They don't have any security. They worry. They're anxious. They're stressed. Verse 3. Who shall stand? Who shall stand? Right here. Who shall stand? You think that might just not be Jesus? You think there's somebody else that shall stand one day in the judgment and stand strong and stand straight and stand bold? Oh, yeah. Who?
the redeemed crowd that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb shall stand strong in our own righteousness, in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There is forgiveness. People shake, people tremble, because they've never experienced God's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. Since he's been forgiven, David, since he's realized how gracious God is, he said, all I'm going to do the rest of my life, I'm just waiting for Jesus. I'm going to expect him. I'm going to hope in him, because his forgiveness is great. Let's ground ourselves in verse 3 and we'll be done. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's a dark one, isn't it? Because we know if we answer it from God's word, not a one of us is standing, right? We're actually going to fall all throughout eternity in the bottomless pit of hell. Who shall stand? But I'm so glad when God butts in. Verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee. I want to tell you something, friend. The blood can blot out your sins. The blood can give you a new start. If you're willing to confess that you've got iniquity in your life, there is forgiveness. You've got to be honest enough to say that you're not what you ought to be. And then God will meet you on the grounds of honesty, and he will say, I'll apply the blood to your account and wash your sins away. There is forgiveness. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The purpose is that we may fear and hope in God. As you stand with me, I'd like to ask you a few questions to everybody that's listening. Say, Brother Justin, I don't believe that I'm saved. I don't believe I've experienced that forgiveness. I don't believe I have. I don't think if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody here? Say, I believe I'm lost. Maybe you're under the sound of my voice through internet or radio. I want to tell you there's forgiveness with the Lord, and you can be saved before it's everlastingly too late. You don't have to have the proper prayer. You just call on God in your distress. Say, Brother Justin, I need to get right with God. There's things in my life that's not right, and I need to come to Jesus. That could be you this morning. Say, Brother Justin, it's not so much that, maybe, but I want to just thank the Lord that he's blotted out all my transgressions. He's blotted out all my iniquities. And I want to praise him that there is forgiveness with the Lord. Maybe you need to come make this altar your altar this morning for whatever your need might be. There, hallelujah, is forgiveness. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and the hallelujah reminder that whatever our sin is, your forgiveness is greater. Move and work, touch hearts and lives.